Hey, welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast. My name is Pete Fletcher, and joining me as usual is my good friend, Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
I'm looking at the new Toyota 4Runner. I'm really confused.
Okay.
So, you know, historically, you just got like a V6 or V8. It was really simple. But the performance is so much more complicated now. You know, they're going to this, it looks like an i4, but there's a turbo. And then there's also like a mild hybrid boost, like through the transaxle. Like there's a lot of nuance to the performance now when trying to look at cars. It's no longer like big engine, go fast. Like it's, you know, you've got all these different components and how they come together and how that performance works. It's got a lot of kind of subtlety and nuance, and it's fun and it's complicated, but, yeah.
I don't want to sell you out, but don't you drive a Tesla? I mean, that was a great segue. Don't get me wrong, but.
Well, you know, it's, you know, kind of like all flash is better than hybrid. I do enjoy a good, you know, all EV platform, but, you know,
yeah.
It's good to understand what's going on under the hood of storage. So,
yeah, absolutely. You definitely need to understand what's going on under the proverbial hood. Absolutely. And so joining us today to talk about performance testing and HCI Bench specifically is a good friend of ours, Mr. Chen Wei. Chen, welcome to Virtually Speaking.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me. Hey, John. How's it going?
Good.
Chen, give me the quick description. Like, what do they pay you to do here at VMware by Broadcom?
Well, you know, I joined VMware back to, let's say, 2011, basically 13 years ago as an intern. My first project is kind of doing solution work for the database service. After I graduated, I just officially joined VMware in 2012. Then, you know, been through different projects, including, you know, database service, VBOB, vSAN. Then, you know, I come up with this HCI Bench work. As well as right now, I'm kind of managing a team. We have a bunch of SME dealing with the workload, you know, running on top of the VCF.
Nice, running workloads on VCF. So is that from a performance perspective, or is that part of what
everything
the job is?
We cover everything, yeah. Including performance, best practices, as well as, you know, those kind of lifecycle management, how we should design, you know, architectural layout. So basically, we cover everything for customer to help other customer to understand, hey, what's the best practices, what we should follow, what's the guidance by running certain application on top of, you know, VCF, I know we're being the product.
Yeah. And well, performance is a big conversation, right, John?
Yeah. And I think Chen's underselling it. There's, you know, this group, it's pretty incredible. There's a lot of work that, you know, you'll see publicly, you'll see, you know, Deji or sit here, somebody on stage talking about these things, but there's also quiet work done behind the scenes with these application vendors. So that way, when new versions of their software come out, when new versions of our software come out, joint support statements get issued, as well as in some cases, entire features are done just for a single application vendor to make them more comfortable or enhance the platform in that direction. So it's a lot of nifty kind of under the hood work.
Yeah. And one of the things that came out of that work, many things, of course, but certainly one of them is something that folks listening to this podcast are probably familiar with, and that's HCI Bench. And we're going to talk a little bit about what HCI Bench is and you know, how people use it and maybe what's going on with the latest version. But before we do that, Chen, why don't we set the foundation? Like, what is the background of HCI Bench? Like, how did it start? And tell me a little bit more about the beginnings of it.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning is pretty interesting. You know, when the early stage of vSAN is about like 2014 or 15, you know, it was kind of new to the storage world. And my manager asked me to, hey, you know, probably you're going to run some competitive testing, you know, from vSAN perspective against other storage vendors. So see how each of the, you know, the storage platform works, right? Then I was thinking of the way to automate the testing. You know, initially we just didn't spin up a bunch of VMs running the VDB bench testing inside of it and aggregate the results and then compare results. You know, that's kind of starting from simple. And after the project down, vSAN won the game. And, you know, my manager asked me, hey, why not just, you know, publish this tool for field, for customer, when they come up to vSAN or any vSphere storage, they're going to have an easy way end-to-end solution automation in order to get the performance testing down within a few hours without put their hands dirty. They just need to kick a few buttons and get the numbers, show to the executive. That's it. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting how HCI Bench being introduced. It was designed for vSAN, but it not only cover vSAN, right? It can cover all the kind of data storage or storage based on vSphere, vCF.
So I can use it with my fiber channel array, my NVMe over fabric array, you know.
Even local VMFS.
I remember the dark ages before HCI benched, where if people were doing performance testing, you know, you had to go manually deploy OSs, deploy these tools, try to make sure they were done consistently, then try to figure out when the benchmarks on one of the nodes came back different, try to figure out what was going on. You know, you're often using kind of very dumb synthetic generators, stuff like IOMeter or Crystal Disk. And I still see people occasionally, they'll like benchmark one VM and one disk and be like, I don't like the results of this. And, you know, explain like what do you see in aggregate that's different of running these multiple VMs, multiple disks versus just a serial, that single workload generator?
Because, you know, HCI was, you know, introduced around like 2013-14, that time frame, right? And people did not quite understand about the architecture, how HCI works. But think about it. You have a vSphere cluster, you have anything. You would not just spin up one VM with single VM decay in your cluster, and you start to draw just, oh, this cluster sucks and the performance sucks because you're not seeing, you know, the performance you want. However, you're going to think about everything as a whole. Hey, as a cluster, what's the performance look like, right? What's the potential maximum IOPS or throughput I was able to achieve using this cluster? Or what could be the minimum latency I was able to achieve? What's the scale looks like? What's the efficiency looks like from a cluster? So if you only think about from a single VM with single VM decay perspective, I mean, it's not old school, but I would say it's not realistic from the world.
Yeah, from a lot of consultants would use a lot of those synthetic workloads for, you know, just to show like, oh, look how this works on this. But it never was true to real workloads like IOPS, especially like you can't really measure on some of those tools. I think that was one of the big shortcomings on a lot of the benches. And so how is the testing differentiated like with the VMs that you create? How does that make it better than, say, like a synthetic workload?
You know, one interesting I'd like to share is, so there's some famous competitor, vSAN. They always post something, you know, pretty fancy. You know, we achieve, you know, 1 million, 200 billion IOPS within single VM. I mean, because we're doing the performance testing, we know that's pretty easy if you can do some sort of cheating. You know, for example, if you do the read performance, and if you have not written down anything to the storage layer, everything basically is from the memory, right? Then you can see extremely low latency while you have 1 million or 2 million IOPS out of the performance of the cluster. And you show customer, hey, this is you know, how the performance looks like on our cluster. But as we know, it's not true, right? It's basically just we call it fake read because you don't have anything in your storage.
Yeah, the 512-byte read test that has a 10-megabyte working set. It's I'm going to test the acceleration for 10 milliseconds of my car. Wow, that was really fast. Let's pay no attention to anything else. It's exactly. Interesting because in storage, I feel like, you know, there's what we call these cheesy benchmarks or these, you know, been various derogatory terms called them over the years. But it is interesting of trying to have a level set way to test at scale. And do so and get a more indicative of what's going on. So let's dig a little bit into the tool. I know historically it was hosted on the Flings website. Where is the new home for HCI Bench and what all is going on there?
Absolutely. So let me just share my screen quick. All right, here we go. So originally we published HCI Bench on Flings site. Of VMware, right? And everybody knows due to the acquisition, and we do have some changes to the Flink side. That's why HCI Bench kind of, you know, moved from the Flink side to GitHub. That happened last year. The reason we moved to GitHub is not only want to still publish HCI Bench to our customer, our partner, and our field. You know, but also we are trying to engage more people to contribute the code, the idea, and discussion within this platform. And if you're looking at that, we have people, you know, post a couple of issues, and we have people engaging the discussion, talking about, hey, what kind of feature you guys can look into in the future, right? So for example, if you look at this one really quickly, and somebody actually talking to me saying, hey, you know what, we're not testing vSAN, but we're using HCI Bench. Right, so think about to have the NVMe adapter being enabled for XFinch. In that case, we can know what's going to be the performance looks like by, you know, configuring NVMe adapter within the VM instead of PVSCSI controller. Then, you know, actually I did some change. I told them, oh, okay, for right now, the code is ready, but you just need to change some code, how you can do that. Just to show them some basic procedure that they can achieve right now. So that's pretty interesting. You know, I have more, I would say, active discussion within this GitHub, site, and rather than, you know, just a very passive way, just receive people requests. And, you know, I prefer the GitHub more than Flame.
Well, yeah, I remember it was just like a running comment section, and people can also make suggestions or pull requests. And it looks like also this is under the MIT license now.
Yes. I believe so.
Open source, yay.
Open source. Yeah, I think it's great that link below for folks that want to take a look at that. But I think it's great when you have open source like that and you can share and then get feedback. I think the other great thing about it is like, yeah, how often is it that you can use a tool and be like, hey, I really wish it did this. And then the developer jumps on and says, okay, here's some code to fix that right away.
Exactly. So, you know, we're kind of aggregating the code for a certain stage, then we publish a new version, right? If you're looking here, we actually have the 2.2A1 and 2A2 published already. And I'm about to publish 2A3 based on the changes I've made in the past few months. And also based on the recommendations or bug or features raised by different group of people.
I was just going to ask, so what are some kind of, you know, if someone's deploying this, what are some of the features that you recommend they look at? Or what are some of quick tips that you think sometimes people may miss with HCI Bench?
So here, let me show a quick instance of HCI Bench, right? I basically deploy the HCI Bench. If you were the first time using HCI Bench, right, you don't know what this tool can do for you. And if you're testing against vSAN, there is an easy run button that you can click. And you don't have to specify those kind of detailed information, like how many VMs you want to deploy, and the CPU memory, disk information. You don't need to specify any of those. It's going to decide for you automatically. So how does it work? Basically, if you choose to use EasyRun, XFinch basically can automatically detect your vSAN environment and deploy a number of VMs, let's say 4 VM per host, with 80 VM decay per VM, and give you a proper configuration of the thread count. So you just need to select one or more, those workload you want to testing using EasyRun. Then you just click start button and save config, and click start button. Then you can just wait for the results in a couple of hours. That's it. So I mean, for a first time user, I highly recommend use EasyRun for testing your vSAN. Also, if you come up with a new vSAN cluster, right? Let's say you have a new vSAN ESA set up or vSAN Max set up in your environment, you can also use EasyRun because you probably want trying to find out, hey, what could be the maximum IOPS throughput or minimum latency can be delivered within from this cluster. EasyRun can also be a great option for you to, as a first time to XFinch or first time to the vSAN cluster to use.
I like that, you run this before you put workload on it, so you understand the limitations of that cluster. And then if you're trying to troubleshoot performance, a year from now, you can say, okay, am I exceeding what this cluster was designed for? Or am I at, am I having performance problems and I'm at 1/10 with what the HCI bench run was? Maybe there's something wrong with the network, or maybe something's going on. Help give you some indications along with all the other tooling. I did see there's a vSAN debug flag. What is that for?
Oh, that's interesting. So if you have vSAN, right, if you're testing against vSAN, you can enable this. If you enable this, you're going to need to fill out, the host credential information here. This looks silly, but I'll get rid of this. So basically, you can do host 1 and root with whatever password. Then you fill out host 2 if they have different credential, and you have root, and you have whatever other customer, the password, right? So if all the hosts have same credential, you just need to fill out the one line, and it's automatically applied to all the hosts. And I'll show you what vSAN debug mode will get you. right? So in short, vSAN debug mode will grab more information. First of all, it's going to grab the VMK stats during the testing. It's going to tell you what's your different world the CPU utilization looks like. In the end, it's going to jump into a flame graph. So if you have vSAN debug mode enabled, within this testing results folder, you should be able to see this little folder called vSAN debug. We click on it. We have four hosts. And for each of the hosts, we have the VMK stats collected and parsed. So if you go deeper, you can see those flame graphs of each world. Well, this is more for, I would say, vSAN or performance engineer within VMware to look at. The procedure basically is like, once you have, you think there might be something going wrong with my vSAN system, you may want to retest with using USAPinch by turning on the vSAN debug mode. Then those information will be collected automatically, and you can basically ship those information to vSAN engineering or GSS. Then, you know, we can have, then can significantly shorten the time at GSS ask you, hey, could you reproduce this for me? And could you collect those information for me? So they're gonna have those information already. This is for VMK stats. But more importantly, you know, John, we have something called humbug within VMware, right? So basically we ask customer to collect support bundle, you know, either for past 2 days or past 2 hours after run testing, we collect support bundle for 2, 5, 10 gigabytes, right? When ship it over to FTP side for GSS to look at. The beauty of new USAPinch to vSAN debug mode is when you turn it on, it's gonna collect the support bundle automatically of each test case. Mm-hmm. So for example, this is a test case just ran, you know, this is about 8K 50% read. Once you turn vSAN debug mode on, the support bundle automatically collected. But look at the size. It's just 4 megabyte comparing to 5 gigabyte. Reason being is I tuned the script a little bit that allowed the bundle collection only collect the time range during the testing happening. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's
you're not just dumping the entire performance database.
Exactly. Yeah. So you just need to focus on this particular time range and you can figure out what's going on. So then you can just ship this bundle to the GSS. Just GSS can figure out what's going on there. Plus, if you want to do something by yourself, of course, we allow that. And you go look at the results, right? We also parse the support bundle locally within USAPinch itself. So when you're looking at the results and it's going to tell you for vSAN performance stats graph, you can just copy paste this and go here. Then you will see exact same graph as GSS and vSAN engineering or performance team.
Oh, fancy. And that looks like a Grafana dashboard. That's
this is Grafana. This is Grafana dashboard, but this is built in within USAPinch. So for each run, you should be get a link for that. Exactly. And if you're looking at the time range just for 1.5 hours, which is testing happening.
Yeah, and I love how Grafana, you can like highlight a section and it'll zoom in. Like it's a fun platform. So
oh yeah, for sure.
Yep. Yep.
So I know, you know, vSAN obviously has the original storage architecture, also has the express storage architecture, and that architecture is very different, especially as it pertains to performance and the way we handle our caching and all that. Were there any changes to HCI Bench, or does it handle the differences between vSAN differently?
I would not say change, but some enhancement, right? I would say vSAN ESA comparing to vSAN OSA is kind of enhancement. From the easy run perspective, yes. So it's going to deal with OSA and ESA differently because, you know, OSA is based on this group. So the basic algorithm we're using for OSA is like, hey, we're going to put 2 VMs per disk group. And we basically calculate the thread count or the queue depths based on the number of disk group. But once we move to ESA, we don't have to worry about disk group. We just look at each host. So for example, how many VM we're going to target on each host and how many thread count we can target for each host. This is one change, right? We get rid of disk group calculation. Another thing is for EasyRun specifically, it's going to tell you how you should prepare your VMDK before running testing. Think about prepare VMDK just like when you're testing a database, you're going to pre-feed the data into a database in order to know what's the real performance of the database, right? So for example, what's the performance of insert, update, or delete, something like that. So prepare data, it does the same thing. Because for ESA right now, we have the compression enabled by default. And basically, HCFS is going to find out from storage policy perspective whether compression is enabled or not, right? If compression enabled by default, okay. So basically, it's going to use random as a method to prepare the VMDK. If you're using, you know, all writing down all zero, they might be just compressed. You cannot basically prepare all the physical layer of the storage. So there are multiple couple differentiation between differences between OSA and ESA in that matter. And also for ESA, when we're doing EasyRun, we tend to design more thread count per host because ESA tends to have way better scale and than OSA. That's from our experience. So there's some differences, but of course,
so it feeds more. It feeds more CPU threads to the worker VMs.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, fun.
So it seems like to me that if you have a vSphere environment, you're definitely going to want to use HCI Bench. Why is this not productized and inside of like VCF or SDDC Manager or something?
That's actually, engineering and product manager asked me a couple of times. We want to stay unbiased, right? Because we do have some customer come in and ask, hey, I don't want to use the HCFS because it's produced by VMware, right? It's it's come from vSAN team. It's hard for us to say, hey, you know what? This is actually, we're actually using FIO or VDBench as an IO engine. HCFS just a end-to-end automation wrapper. They don't really care. They think, oh, this is a product. You just showcase your own performance, right? So we still want to stay a little bit, I would say, unbiased. So that's why we're kind of publishing this as a solution instead of the product.
Yeah, if we productize it, then they've got Chin's got to carry a pager. So right now he can go on vacation and answer your GitHub pull requests, a week later. So hopefully you don't have benchmarking emergencies, though. Like, that would be weird. Yeah. So.
Well, you bring up a really good point because I guess I hadn't really thought about the aspect of like bias for companies. So for example, if someone was trying to evaluate, software, you're not going to go to the person trying to sell you the software and say,
exactly,
hey, look at this tool we made to show you how we are better.
Don't ask us how it's made. Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about one, this being a wrapper for FIO and VDBench, which are industry standard. FIO is, generally an upstream Linux. VDBench, I think Oracle releases that, right?
Yes.
Those are bog standard, and you can look at the wrapper code and see there's no real funny business or anything. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another reason we open source this is just trying to have the user trust us. Hey, we're not hiding anything, right? We're not hiding anything from you. Everything is transparent. You can dig the code for yourself, and you can even contribute the code yourself. So we're not hiding anything. And we're letting the customer know the performance that we're building or the number we're showing from HCFS is all real from your cluster, whatever it is.
Yeah, this essentially just creates some automation in the steps that you're going to want to do. And but still uses the technology for the tools under it to actually the engines of those tools to actually do the work. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. The only flavor to vSAN, particularly, just we simplify the process of debugging vSAN itself. That's it. Though we're not actually just preferring any kind of storage in sense of on top of vSphere or VCF. vSAN just part of the customer.
So, in regards to application testing, I know you and your team have validated a ton of different applications. What has been in pipeline lately? What have you been working on? What have you had some kind of interesting surprises with? Anything you want to share across the application validation side?
Absolutely. So, for the past few years, my team published over 70 or 80 reference architectures around different applications and different VMware product, right? Including vSphere cell, including vSAN, and VMC and on different platform. We were targeting most likely it's about the best practices, architecture design, and what's the performance look like, right, as a reference architecture. For this year, we're not going to explore new workload, except there's a customer ask, right? We're not basically explore new workload by ourselves, but instead we're going to enrich those workloads we've developed already. So for example, let's talk about Cassandra or CockroachDB or Kafka, right? So previously, if you're looking at a reference architecture right now, it's just show you, hey, what's the best practices? What's the architectural design? What's the performance look like? So right now we're trying to introduce more dimension into this, into each workload. From a monitoring perspective, hey, how you can use, let's say, Aria Ops to monitor your application, right? How you can leverage Aria Auto to do the lifecycle management of your application. And more importantly, how can you do the protection from IT perspective of your application, as well as how can you do migration of your application, right? So basically, we can talk about how can you migrate from your brownfield, existing bare metal, or hyperscaler to VCF environment, or how can you migrate within different VCF environment, and how can you leverage the most recent VMware technology in the live recovery to protect your applications, and how can you use the Aria Ops to monitor your application, you know, from a single places. That's something we're trying to achieve this year, and stay tuned, and we can have, you know, more exciting things to come.
Nice. Where do people go to see the reference architectures? Where are those parked?
So right now they're still staying on TechZone. If you go to core.vmware.com and you search the application you want to see, it's most likely going to be there. So for now, you know, people pretty interested in, you know, SQL Server, Oracle, and those traditional applications, as well as VDI, SAP HANA, and we also publish a bunch of, you know, modern application or data services stuff like, you know, Kafka, Mongo, Cockroach. And my team also participates some AI work, right? So for example, we published the private AI reference architecture last year, and we're going to have more to come this year.
Nice. Yeah, go and nice. Check those out. I think Pete's got the link here. And I want to stress, those are, it's some really hardened technologists who are producing those. Those are not like marketing, you know, using ChatGPT to say just pleasant things about how these yeah. products coexist. Like, they really get into the weeds. So check them out.
Yeah. We're also trying to feed our docs into, you know, ChatGPT, see, you know, what kind of model we can build out of it. You know,
that's really interesting.
Well, it's something we're looking at right now, right? Because if you think about the future of monitoring, so monitoring is just first step, in my opinion, right? So first of all, your IT team should have the visibility of the application, identify what VM running what application, what's the application metrics looks like, and hopefully we can send the data over to VMware Cloud or premises VR Ops. Then we come up with something, you know, the reference architecture stored in the vector DB and give you some recommendation. Hey, I see your SQL Server is running.
Wow. So combine the document, low CPU, combine the
exactly,
performance data.
And give you give you some, you know, recommendation how you should tune your SQL Server or platform automatically, or you can do that manually. So this is something we're still looking at, but I guess it's a fun thing to do.
Wow. Okay. Chen GPT. Stay tuned.
Chen GPT.
I'm just, you know, it's always interesting because I've asked ChatGPT to muse on some things that are areas of my focus, you know, storage economics and vSAN. And sometimes it comes back and I'm like, this is written in my tone and I'm actually not happy about it. But then I realize, oh yeah, I'm the training data. And I'm pretty sure if you're asking about VMware optimization of CockroachDB, like, you're just naturally going to end up as the training data for public models. But I didn't think about taking that a step further and using the combining it all the way through. So we just got to watch the tone on these things. So yeah, no Ralver GPT. This will be fun. So
yeah,
I like it a lot. Well, cool, Chen. This has been super informative. We're going to leave some links in the show notes of the podcast to the reference architectures, to the GitHub.
Awesome.
But yeah, if you are a VMware customer, if you're using HCI, regardless of whether it's vSAN or not, you guys definitely should be trying HCI Bench. Chen, thanks for all the information, and hopefully we can get you back on again soon.
Thank you, folks. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.